Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk to you guys about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, so you all can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features.
Who's
who? Who's going first? You go.
I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
And I'm Hannah Rosner, and I also mostly write for television. And today we're going to talk about something that I think all of us here at UFDP and all writers have probably dealt with at some point in our careers. And it's called professional jealousy, otherwise known as someone else gets a win. They take the W and you see them running away with that W and you're like, I guess I got the L.
And it starts at literally any point. I don't know if like maybe Steven Spielberg gets professional jealousy. Like, I assume he does, but he doesn't win the Oscar. He's like, I am professionally jealous, right?
It could happen. Probably. Even Spielberg gets jealous.
Yeah. And then he goes back to his mansion and looks at all his other awards and comforts himself.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He looks at his piles of money.
Kate Capshaw wakes up in the middle of the night. She finds him like cuddling the Oscar in the living room. And she's like, are you professionally jealous again?
It happens, right? Like, somebody gets a win and you see it on Twitter or you hear about it at drinks. And it can feel kind of crappy. It runs the gamut because I've had experiences where, you know, a really good friend got some success and I was happy for them, but a little jealous. I've had experience where a past nemesis or someone that crossed me and did me wrong and was a total asshole got a win and I didn't. And then I was a little bit less happy for them.
There's two types of professional jealousy, I feel like, right? There's the type where someone gets something and you genuinely wish that they hadn't gotten it because you don't like them and you don't think they deserve it. And then, of course, there's your friend's successes or just someone you like, but like you still rather wish it had happened to you, you know, or even if it's not even something you necessarily want. But like, I've had a good friend, someone I really admire who's been really good to me, get staffed on two different shows that were like shows I would have just like dream shows. I'm happy for him. And I'm also really jealous because I wanted those specific things.
Well, let's pretend that we're all sitting around with martinis, crying into our martinis about our friends and or nemesises. Nemesis? Our nemesis success?
Yeah. I think it's nemesis.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
For sure.
But I think the most important thing about this is that it's okay. It is okay to feel these feelings, whether it's the more complicated, like, I'm happy for you, but mad for me, versus I wish this person had never been born, let alone been hired to write the new Steven Spielberg movie. It's okay. It's totally, totally normal. And if you try to shove those feelings away, that's going to eat you up inside.
Yes. Therapy 101. Feel your feelings. They are valid and they're okay. The one thing is, don't let your feelings consume you, because then it tips into not okay.
I think it's important to like take 24 hours or so to feel sorry for yourself, if however you want to do that. And then, you know, don't let it consume you, because it can really fester and resentment can just build up. And that's just not good for anybody.
Like, occasionally this business is a zero sum game, right? Like, someone, if you have one dream job or you're up for a job against someone, then, and one person gets it and you don't, like, yeah. But like, very rarely is that the case. Like, someone getting to create a show that they wrote, and yay for them. Like, you didn't write that show. You will write your own show. You will get staffed on different shows. You will get other jobs. And like, they do stack up. I think the hardest part is when they stack up, when you are going through a dry spell and people you either hate or love or whatever are just stacking up wins. That to me is the worst.
It can fuel you sometimes. I mean, I've always had, I don't have it as much as I used to because I'm older. I don't know why. I'm in my 30s and I just don't care anymore. But I think when I was in my 20s and I would see other, you know, assistants getting promoted while I was still an assistant, or, you know, writer's assistants getting staffed and I was still a writer's assistant or whatever, I felt this sense of, well, that's not fair. Or, you know, I felt those feelings of, I feel pathetic and I feel dumb that I'm admitting that I, you know, was feeling jealous and rejected, but you can use it to fuel you, not to like take them down. If I'm not talking about like your thirst for vengeance, although if that helps you, that's fine too. But it's more that if you're feeling like, well, this doesn't, why not me? Then there's a way to use that to, you know, sort of give yourself a boost of like, well, wait, what am I doing that I can be doing differently? And maybe what did they do that helped them? And how can I be taking those similar steps? Like, you can use it to help you sort of take a good hard look at your career and where you're at, and whatever feelings are fueling you, as long as you use it in a positive, healthy way, which I think is write that spec that you need to write, apply for that fellowship again that you didn't get into this year, but it's going to be even better next year, because I guarantee you, you're just going to keep getting better. So everybody's career has a different trajectory and takes a different shape. And some people, they might be having all these wins while you're not getting any. That might not always be the case a few years down the line. So it's not, I've found it to be really unhelpful to compare yourself to other people, because it's just a waste of energy.
I feel like you're sort of talking about being competitive, which is like, I mean, I am super competitive. There's different types of competitive people, right? There's the like really loud competitive people. I am the quiet, vicious competitive person. Like, we'll be playing a board game and you won't realize it, but I am going to bring you down, you know?
Dangerous. That's yes. That's the person you got to worry about, especially and when so you're playing Monopoly.
This, yeah. Oh, fuck Monopoly. It's the worst. But my point is that like, if you can use this as fuel for your competitive spirit to gear specifically yourself, right? Don't use your competitive spirit to sabotage the opportunities of others or talk shit about them. Talking shit is an absolute no-no, except to your very trusted circle who know that you, in fact, will not be sabotaging the person you're shit-talking. But like, if that helps you get up in the morning and write, you know, 15 pages because you found out your nemesis, you know, got this opportunity that you would have killed for, that is very good to a specific degree.
It can shake you out of your comfort zone. I want to tell you guys a story about something that happened to me without naming names or being specific. But a couple of years ago, I was feeling like a lot of my friends were getting win after win. And then I was working for a producer and I was an exec, and the assistant, who was technically, you know, beneath me, even though we were friends and we were the same age, she ended up getting a writer's assistant job. And I was just consumed with jealousy. I was so happy for her. I love her. I, you know, was really happy for her. But I was like, what am I doing wrong? Why not me? I should be the one that's getting a support staff job, because I want to get in a writer's room. And, you know, so part of me was like, wah, this isn't fair. You know, I've put in my dues, I've paid my dues. And then part of me was like, okay, girl, you need to like, fine, if you need to drink a bottle of rosé and cry and then wake up the next morning, and this is on you, like, figure your shit out. If you want to get out of this position that you're in and you want to be a writer someday, now is the time. Like, what are you waiting for? And so that moment was an impetus for me that really sort of fueled me to take a good hard look at where I was and realize that I'd gotten kind of comfortable. I was like, yeah, I'm cool with just staying at this job for year after year after year. And realize, no, it's time to move on. And I will also say that because I was such a good friend with this person, she also was like, you need to go. She actually said to me, this should be you as well. Like, not that we're in competition per se, but more like, what is the phrase about all boats rise or whatever? Something like that. I don't remember what
tide,
it is. But
high tide carries all boats.
Yeah. It was like, you deserve this too. And if you don't do something, you will be stuck here forever. And it's true. I no one was gonna hand me the opportunity that I was waiting for. And so I had to go out and get it. And so that's why I wrote a new script. I wrote a pilot. That pilot helped me get my manager. And then I wrote a spec and I got into the Warner Brothers workshop. So, you know, I let that fuel me to take the steps that I needed to take. And if that hadn't happened, even though it sucked and I totally had an entire bottle of rosé to myself and I did cry, I was a better person for it. I don't know where I'd be now if that hadn't happened.
That's a great story. Thank you. But, you know, one part I kind of want to touch on is that part of that story is a friendship in which your friend is like, you deserve this too. And the thing to really remember is, if they're a frenemy or a friend, you know, maybe don't reach out to your nemesis if they're toxic and you don't want to deal with them. But like anyone else that you're jealous of, that you are on good terms with, when this thing happens, congratulate them. Like, reach out, be genuine about it. We all know people who have gotten wins that they didn't quite deserve, you know, but like people who have skated by or been promoted, or you either know you're a better writer or you know that they, you know, like whatever. Even, but like, let's take that out of the equation. Like, they got a win that they deserved, right? Tell them congratulations. It will honestly make you feel better because it is the right thing to do, but like also because, like, your friend, they want to help you. Reminding people of your existence throughout your career is really, really helpful. Whenever I see someone who, like, I have emailed with, or who I just even kind of know at all, and I see them, you know, in the trades or something like that, or I hear about it, I fucking email them and I congratulate them, and they write me back usually, like, thank you so much, like, how are you, anything like that. And people remember that, and they will help you because you did this nice thing for them of validating their win.
I mean, just to jump off of that, I want to talk a little bit about what you said about being genuine. So this is just from my personal experience and the times when I have been consumed by jealousy or envy. Of course, you know, the right thing to do was to congratulate the person, but there was a period of time when I found it hard to be genuine about it. Maybe I'm just a very selfish, petty person, but in case any of our listeners also have that same problem, this is a thing that helped me a lot. I wanted to go back to something that Hannah had said about your friend getting that win was sort of a little kick in the ass, right? It was a thing that sort of motivated you. But it was also a shift in your own perspective, in that it wasn't so much, oh, like, I deserve this and why didn't it come to me? And you shifted your perspective to, oh, I need to do more in order to get the win that I want. And so going off of that and tying it together with what you said, Erica, well, the thing that has really helped me is I stopped looking at life and career stuff like it was a ladder. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, Erica, you get a win and that means you're above me on the ladder. And then like, oh, but, you know, Jamie's below me in the ladder, so I feel better about that. Now I need to push Erica out of the way so I can get up there. And that's hey. Not.
Also, tell me more about this win I got.
Also, who's Jamie?
I just made someone up. I didn't want to say you.
Our secret fourth member of the Untitled Tournament.
Our imaginary friend, Jamie. And that idea that in order to get to the next rung, I have to shove you out of the way. And it's not really like that.
That is almost never the case.
And so it's not a ladder. It's a field. It's a flat field. And everyone's at a different point on that field. And the field is sort of endless. And everyone's just walking at their own pace.
It's basically like Squid Game. And the industry is the giant doll with the angry eyes that... No, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry.
Okay, thank you for killing that metaphor.
Sorry. Anyway, I mean, like, the other thing is like, when you look at people's wins, like, let's say, you know, Jess got a big win. She created her own TV show, right? And I reach out and say, wow, Jess, congratulations, you know, and I'd love to catch up, right? So Jess, in her magnanimousness, is like, absolutely, I'm free a year from February. So a year from February, we finally hang out. And I ask her, you know, like, congratulations on that show. How did that happen, right? And then I really listen to what she has to say, because how she got that win may be really helpful to me, right? It may be that, like, she really loved those producers that she worked with and they got her this thing, or she tried this unconventional route of getting her show made. Whatever it was, like, I can learn from. And so, like, you know, any wins that happen in any weird ways, you know, like, sometimes that kind of success is duplicatable. Is that a word?
Yeah,
duplicatable.
I think so. Repeatable. I don't know.
Repeatable? You know, like, a lot of times it's not. But, like, and it's like a general gist that you can repeat, not the exact thing. But, like, man, what an opportunity if you stay in touch with people with wins. Not only will they maybe help you rise on your boat next to them, but they might be able to tell you something that will help you rise your boat on your own.
There's always a learning opportunity to be had. You just have to be open enough to perceive it.
It's a really good way to keep in touch with people. You know, like, someone you met that you want to stay in touch with, and then you see they got this win in the trades, and you're like, hi, remember me? I think you're right.
Oh my God.
Congratulations.
It's the easiest way to keep in touch with people. You know, whenever I'm like, oh man, I'm just, I'm very hard on myself. And a lot of times I'm beating myself up because I have not been keeping up with networking, and I'm like, oh man, I need to make all these coffees and lunches and I need to set all these things and it's like, to be fair, I usually, if I'm lagging on keeping up with my network, it's because I'm busy, or, you know, like I'm tired and they're busy too. It's not such a big deal. But the point is like that, to, if you see someone got staffed on a show, like congratulate them in an email or retweet their news if it feels, you know, appropriate, if you're like close friends with them or whatever, celebrate their success, because it literally takes 5 minutes. It's not the same as like, oh my gosh, I have to go like up to tell them what I'm up to now. And I don't know about you guys, I spiral when I think about how to reach out to someone that I haven't like talked to in a while or whatever. And it's just such an easy way. People love being congratulated. I know I do.
Be the cheerleader you want to have when your good news arrives.
The other thing is, you touched on this before, like, do not talk shit. I can't, that bears repeating, because I cannot stress enough what a bad look it is. And it really, it doesn't matter if the person is your friend or your absolute enemy, or they, I mean, okay, if they harassed you or something, like, yeah, let people know, you know, if it within reason. But if you just don't like them and you just do not talk shit, don't post stuff on it. Social media, don't, because this gets around and then you don't want to have a reputation as somebody that comes off as jealous and, you know, just rude and talking shit about someone, because that goes around and then people don't trust you. And it's just, I've seen this happen so many times. I just get so paranoid that if I say something bad about someone, it's going to get back to them. I think it's mean. It's not something I feel comfortable doing, but I see people do it all the time. And I'm like, you realize all these people around us can hear you and you don't know who they know and who they might tell that you were talking shit. And it just creates this negativity cycle and just paints you in a bad light when you're trying to paint someone else in a bad light.
It also can have hilarious results if you're really bad at it. Like, I remember hearing about an exec who was meeting with a director, and the director was talking about what they wanted to do. And they're like, it was something along the lines of Pitch Black, the movie. And the exec said, yeah, but like those movies are shit, so like, we don't want to go in that direction. And the director turns to like the other exec in the room and is like, does he know that I am the director of Pitch Black?
Oh my God.
Don't do it. You know, like, you would never know who you're talking to, and taste is very different. And, you know, like, people have very, I will never judge someone for saying something positive about a person who I know I don't like. But man, if you say some shit about someone I care about, like, no, forever no, you know? And I also think, you know, like, we talked about how it's okay to feel this way and feel your feelings. And there's, you know, like, there comes a point when you're talking this way, when you're talking shit, when you're putting this negative energy, you know, from your gut through your mouth out into the world, where like, it feels really bad. You'll regret doing it, you know, like, get it out of your system, but don't keep getting it out of your system, because it just starts to really wear on you to have that level of negativity.
Yeah. Tell your therapist, tell your best friend who you trust and, you know, is not going to make it known to anyone else
and
what you're
really
talking
trust.
About. Like, really,
not,
really trust.
Not that other assistant who you've really connected with and you guys are out for your eighth drinks or whatever. Still no.
Yeah. I just can promise, like, I can't think of a time when it has worked out, but I can think of unlimited amounts of times in my career that I've seen someone talk shit about someone else or try to bring them down to help themselves. It never works out. It never helps you. It just, it only causes chaos.
And we're only human. We feel negative things. We do dumb shit, you know. But that's why we have this episode, is because we want to talk to you about how to handle it in such a way that it moves you forward and doesn't just keep you in place.
Do you guys have any examples of times that you didn't deal with it well? I mean, any time that you look back and you're like, well, I was young and maybe now I wouldn't have handled it that way.
There was a time that someone got a job I really wanted and then turned out it was like the worst thing that happened to them, you know? So like,
oh yes.
I've heard so many of those stories.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they got the job. They got the dream thing. And then I see them 6 months later and I ask how it's going. And it's just a hellish experience. And you realize maybe you dodged a bullet, actually.
This has probably happened to almost all of us, like something that seems like a win that turns out to be a nightmare. And that's not actually what you asked, Hannah, but like, I think that bears mentioning, of like something that looks like a pure win from the outside, you don't actually know. There's sometimes there are really big downsides.
Very early in my career, I heard that someone got a job interview somewhere that I really wanted to work. And I found out like right before I went on vacation. And what I regret is that I let it ruin my vacation. All I did was think about, why not me? Why didn't they like my sample? Why didn't they like my, you know, my application? Or what did I do wrong? I was jealous of her, but I didn't have any ill feelings towards the other candidate. I just felt like I was just really hard on myself. And even my mom was like, we were on vacation together. She's like, okay, snap out of it. Like, let's go get margaritas and think about something else. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then when the vacation was over, I actually got a job interview for the same place. And I ended up getting the job that she turned down. And it was not a great experience. And so I think if I had the thing I wish I had done differently was just not let that get to me so much. I wish I had just been like, okay, it didn't work out for me. I'm going to move on. And now I do that. I just sort of, whenever I get rejected or find out that I didn't get something that I wanted, I'm just like, okay, well, on to the next one, because it probably wasn't the right thing. And that's, it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Jess, before I ruined your metaphor by bringing about Squid Game imagery. It's
super,
not
super bloody and murdery.
Yeah, yes. It's not a ladder. It's not a straight line. It's not even like a, it's not even a shape that everyone else's has the same shape.
Now that you have me thinking about specific stories, like there was someone I went to college with and we were both in the same writing program. And I always felt like he was doing better than me. He got a great internship. His boss was giving him opportunities and blah, blah, blah. And even, you know, after we graduated and he ended up, you know, like a teacher. But I found out through the course of time that a lot of things he was telling me were not exactly true, right? Like they were some degree of true. But this was someone who I kind of realized make things sound much better than they were, right? And that person's no longer in the industry, you know, and part of it was outlasting. Like I super outlasted him. I stuck with it. I kept working, you know, and like those successes that I didn't have in college, I feel like I've more than made up for now. But that was kind of an eye-opening thing for me of like talking to someone who was part of one of his success stories and hearing what it actually was. I was like, oh, I've been so jealous of someone whose, I think, intention was to make me jealous and who was so insecure that that's what how they needed to do things instead of actually just telling me what was going on. And so I think about that. When we get drinks with people we don't really know, you know, or people we want to impress, like we tell our stories about how things are going with us in a way that casts it in the best light, you know. We say, I have this project in development here. We don't say that we haven't heard from the producers in 6 months.
Oh, I totally do that.
Yeah.
I'm super honest. I'm like, yeah, I'm working on this thing, but it's not going very well. I'm very, very, for me, that is the way, like, I'm not saying this is the right way or the healthy way, but it's how I stave off disaster, which is you say all the bad things up front, like, oh yeah, I don't know if it's working or this or that, and you just get it out there. And then you just let the universe handle it.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends who I'm talking to. Like, obviously, I'm going to tell you guys that those producers haven't gotten money in 6 months. But if it's like someone I had a general meeting with 6 years ago who reached out for drinks, I'm not going to tell them. You know?
Oh, we're talking about professional. I thought we were just talking about like other writers that we see day to day. Okay. Never mind. I take it back. I don't say that.
No, but that's a good thing to mention. Like,
that is really good.
You can talk to writers differently than you talk to producers or execs or people in general meetings about your own success or where you at. I mean, I feel like when I talk to even upper level writers that I'm friends with, they will tell me how shitty it's all going and how nobody wants to buy their, you know, project that they're taking out and the industry sucks right now. But I know that I'm sure that when they're in meetings with higher ups, they're talking themselves up because that's what you do.
And if you're out to drinks with your nemesis, always talk yourself up.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't need names, but do you each have a nemesis?
I don't actually, because I feel like a lot of the people that I was jealous of when I started in this business are now nowhere or like
or kind of been killed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I put them in the ground. No, they like a lot of people, I was super jealous when I first moved out to LA and a lot of people like got these big, like really good assistant jobs or they sold a script at like 23. And I also had it a completely absurd, unrealistic expectation for what my career was going to look like when I moved to LA. I was like, 5 years from now, I'm going to be 27. I'm going to be collecting my Oscar. It's going to be great. That sort of blind ambition also fueled me, but it was also ridiculous. And at the time, I just was like constantly feeling like, oh, nothing's going my way because this person sold a script or whatever. And that person didn't know what they were in for. They got totally screwed by the company that they sold their script to. That happens so many times that a lot of those people, it's like you were saying before about outlasting people, Erica, I feel like I just stuck around and kept working and writing and applying and trying and doing it all. And it eventually worked out. But there was a lot of times where I was like, should I just, they made it, I'm never going to make it. Should I just move home and, you know, marry a mechanic in Bridgman, Michigan and just call it a day? And I didn't. That's so a
very, very
don't
specific
do that.
Scenario.
Tell you know, it happens.
About this.
It happens to a lot of people from, I feel like I have a lot of friends from Chicago that moved out here right after college and just had, we all had absurd expectations about what was going to happen. I was more prepared for it because I had saved up my money and I was like prepared to live off of basically no money for like a good year. And because a lot of people came out here and was like, it's all going to happen. And then they got sold a bill of goods or false promises, and then things didn't work out and they moved home and just kind of gave up. And so there's really something to be said for continuing to try and sticking around.
Yeah, that's kind of the ultimate win over, you know, any professional jealousy, right? Is like, it's up to you. Like, it's not a loss if you stick it out and you keep trying, you know? Like, other people's success does not dictate your own, and you just gotta still be here and still be willing to do the work.
Yeah, that's why I will say, like, I totally lost my train of thought.
It was Jamie took
it. Yeah, it was Jamie. Jamie stole my.
I was thinking about the sexy mechanic Hallmark movie in my head. Where, like,
yeah. Oh, dude,
you know,
totally.
An yes. Uptight, neurotic screenwriter decides to leave the industry and return to her hometown in Michigan, where she meets a sexy mechanic who's part of her past.
Right, and yes. The mechanic was absolutely the prom king at the high school, and she pined after him in high school. And
right, like, she was the nerdy one, but now she's hot, and then but then she's got to find like. If the sexy mechanic isn't the right guy for her, then there's going to be some other like also nerdy guy that she knew in high school and she never took him seriously. And now he's hot. They're all hot.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a Hallmark movie.
He's the town doctor now.
See, your life can be a Lifetime movie, listener. You just got to be patient.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale. You can connect with us there, or you can shoot us an email at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We would absolutely love to hear from you and hear what you'd like to hear us talk about. Also, if you have a chance, if you wouldn't mind rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, that would be amazing. And that's it from us. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.